Welcome to a very special program on AFR. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Many people will tell you abortion is a right to choose or that it's the ability to control one's own health care. But abortion is always a death sentence for a baby. And very often it's the beginning of a lifetime of regret and sorrow for the mother. This half hour, we'll hear a collection of stories from women who regret their abortions. These stories were collected by the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
My name is Molly White. I'm a former Texas state representative. I've been actively involved with Operation Outcry for 23 years because I needed the world to know how legal abortion hurt me. Operation Outcry is a platform that provides women like me an opportunity to educate lawmakers, society, and justices how the abortion industry exploits vulnerable pregnant women and girls and leaves a path of death, destruction, and despair in its wake. Today, you will hear powerful one-minute stories of women's personal abortion experiences and the trauma, dysfunction, and self-destruction that followed. Whether the abortion occurred decades ago or just a short time ago, the pain of losing a child to abortion lasts a lifetime. But be encouraged. Even though we may get emotional, we've all been saved, delivered, and healed, and we have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The power of testimony changes hearts, emboldens the hearer, saves lives, and can affect public policy outcomes.
Thank you so much for hearing our testimonies. I am Dr. Alveda King, founder of Speak for Life, and a voice for civil rights and human dignity. I too experienced abortions in the 1970s. Initially, my doctor made a decision for me and aborted my second child and interrupted my second pregnancy and sent me to Planned Parenthood and told me they would be my friends. As a result, I had a second abortion, and I was told in both instances, oh, it's just a blob of tissue, it's not a baby, it won't hurt as bad as pulling a tooth. None of that was true. The effects did hurt and were very, very long-lasting. I also suffered a miscarriage because of the damage that was done to my body from the abortions and the birth control procedures and shots and pills and those types of things. Blessedly, in 1983, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was able to repent for all of my sins, not just the issue of abortion. As a result, now I am a voice for the voiceless, and I represent many, many, many hundreds and thousands into the millions of women who do regret and have suffered tremendous pain from abortions and the after impact. I am the mother of six living children, at least two aborted and one miscarried, and a grateful grandmother as well. The way that you can help women is to hear women who have experienced the trauma and pain of abortion. Many of us have been healed, and now we are raising our voices. And we thank you for listening to us.
My name is Cindy Collins, and I'm from Louisiana. I was a freshman in college and pregnant from my first boyfriend. A friend told me to go to Planned Parenthood. I was told my baby was a blob, that abortion was safe, and that I could go on with my life. The force of abortion caused severe hemorrhaging. I was told to get up and get out and left bleeding heavily in pain, laying outside on the ground until I could walk. I went into a deep depression, health problems, alcoholism, and began a downward spiral of diminished worth, thoughts of suicide, destructive relationships, and continued abortions. Since that time, I've been greatly healed by Jesus. The following voices of brave women you will hear now are a representation of women all across America. We speak truth about the harm of abortion and speak healing to the broken hearts left behind. Our voices must be heard so our nation will know the truth about the lie of abortion. Thank you for listening to us.
Hi, my name is Serena Dykson. I am from Indiana. I was raped at the age of 13 and I was taken for an abortion. At the clinic, I was separated from my parents, and I never was told what abortion was. During the abortion, I screamed for help, only to be told to shut up. My dad had to carry me out of the clinic bloody. Later, I would have an ovary rupture, and I nearly bled to death, and then I would need a complete hysterectomy. Having the abortion never stopped my rapist. He would rape other girls. And eventually, the clinic that I was taken to was shut down for not protecting other minors from their rapist. As a little girl, I dreamed of being a mom, not killing my baby. I was devastated to learn the truth. The abortion almost cost me everything later on in life. I turned to drugs and alcohol to numb my pain. I'm so thankful that I eventually encountered God's grace. Abortion does not protect girls or women from rapists.
I'm Cecilia Sullivan. I was 17 when I became pregnant. Because of fear, I didn't tell my parents until I was 5 months. I was taken to have a saline abortion. I was not given any counseling. I was not told about the baby's development or given any other option. I was injected with a saline solution that would burn my baby's body and kill him. After many hours of intense labor and delivery by myself, I gave birth to my dead baby. Later, I found out it was a boy. My life spiraled into a life of self-destruction, drugs and alcohol, and wrong relationships. I was trying to fill the emptiness that was growing inside of me. I hated myself and what I had become. I had such a low self-esteem, I thought I didn't deserve a better life. I had 3 more abortions. Each time I felt like my life was being sucked out of me. I felt dead inside, empty, and I wanted to die. I was never counseled, not told about fetal development, or given any other options. I was told it was only a blob of tissue. I suffered years of pain and guilt, shame, regret, depression, and anger until I found forgiveness and healing in Jesus Christ. Abortion kills a human life. Abortion hurts women, men, and families. Abortion has devastating psychological effects on women.
My body, my choice, and yes, my consequences. It was 1972, and abortion was about to become legal in the U.S. I was 17, not married and pregnant. Fear set in. My boyfriend's answer was an abortion. After all, abortion must be okay. They're going to make it legal, right? Oh, so wrong. At 17, I wasn't even legally allowed to get my ears pierced without parental consent. Yet here I was being ushered back in a room to lay on a cold gurney. Yep, death table. They began to suction my body, making horrible, horrible sounds, vacuuming sounds. No explanation, no counseling, and no anesthetic. They quickly escorted me out the back alley door. My boyfriend asked, was it a boy or girl? Yikes, this wasn't just a pregnancy. This was a real baby they suctioned from my body. Not a blob of tissue. I immediately felt condemned, separated from God. And one bad decision led to another. I married out of guilt into a very emotionally abusive relationship, resulting in a hospital visit to a psych ward with a nervous breakdown of hellish proportions, followed by years of counseling, and finally a divorce. Left to live out my consequences alone, unworthy of love, and unable to forgive myself. Abortionists neglect the fact that a person has a spirit, soul, and mind where your consciousness and consequences do live on.
My name is Lorian. I grew up in a broken, impoverished home where at least one parent was addicted to drugs. This is not a story that I want, but it is a likely one based on statistics. I was first encouraged to abort when I became pregnant at 19 years old, and I had the strength to resist. But just 3 months after giving birth, I was pregnant again, and the encouragement to abort was replaced by a command. I was an overwhelmed young mother with no resources, depending on the father, who resented the burden of responsibility. And I only knew that I was 6 weeks pregnant because that's what the abortionist said during the sonogram that I refused to look at. I closed my eyes and turned away in obvious distress, yet she never paused. I thought it would be over quickly, that I just had to have enough strength to get through the procedure, but I overestimated my ability to emotionally recover and completely dismiss the spiritual ramifications. I judged myself unfit and never became a mother again. My abortion was almost 20 years ago, but I still live with a ghost in my home. I feel the sting of his absence every time my son, who grew up an only child, says, "I'm lonely." He's there at every meal in an empty chair, and his laughter is missed at every holiday. I will never be okay with taking the life of my baby, and it goes beyond depression. Is healthcare holistic? We are more than flesh and blood. If we don't consider the psychological and spiritual damage of abortion after repeated testimonies, then we are not performing due diligence and we're continuing in negligence.
I became pregnant at an early age, and out of fear, I chose abortion. At the abortion facility, I was told that this was not a baby at all. It was just a blob of tissue. They said that this procedure would be safer than carrying to term. They didn't tell me about the risks of the procedure. A doctor I had never met and would never see again did this surgical abortion. The pain was unbearable. On the drive home from the clinic, I was in extreme pain and bleeding profusely, so I called the facility back. They said, "I'm sorry, you're no longer our problem. Call your doctor." I was too ashamed or afraid to call anyone, so I laid there and waited to die that night. I started drinking and doing drugs to numb the pain, the guilt, and the shame. That lifestyle led to two more abortions. Years later, I would meet Jesus and an amazing man who loved the Lord. We found out that I was infertile because of the damage done to my body from those abortion procedures. I killed the only children I would ever bear. Abortion is not healthcare or a constitutional right. Women deserve the truth and a solution of help rather than the lie that killing their children is their only choice.
Being raised in the inner city, and I found myself in an unexpected pregnancy, and Planned Parenthood was conveniently close. They served as a beacon of hope for the community. And they became my refuge. Under my mother's watchful eye, I was forced to abort two of my children, first my daughter, then my son. Each procedure left me numb and voiceless. I was caught in a downward spiral of hopelessness, suicidal attempt, and risky behaviors. I was losing myself. However, I want women to know that there's hope on the other side. A life-changing call from God dramatically transformed my life. Sharing of my story, in a million years did I think it would save my granddaughter's life, my daughter Cho's life. I have served over a decade in the abortion recovery industry and have been able to walk women who are inside prison for murder to receive healing. And then God called me to CareNet. And I never would have thought this inner city girl would be at CareNet, who has a mission of empowering individuals to choose life for their unborn children and abundant life for their family through the redemptive message of Jesus Christ.
I was 21 and I was not married. I was told I was pregnant. The same time I was told I didn't have to be, that it would be like nothing happened, but it did, that no one would have to know. Now everyone must know. They told me if I paid $200, I wouldn't feel pain, and that pain has never stopped. They reassured me that it was legal, and I believed that because it was legal, it must be okay. It wasn't until I thought I heard my baby screaming in pain that the mother and me woke up. Too late, I realized what abortion is. I screamed for them to stop as they tore my baby to pieces inside of me. I was traumatized again when my body started producing milk for a baby that was not there. When I developed an infection and had to go to the emergency room. When I started cramping and the remains of my baby came out. And 12 years later, when I had to face the fact that legal abortion had left me barren and I would never be pregnant again.
I'm Marnie Bello and representing Texas. In 2010, when I found out I was pregnant, I was young and newly married. I stumbled on a sign that led me to a Planned Parenthood, and the tech confirmed that I was 5 weeks pregnant, but it was just tissue. She advised me to take the RU486, which she said was routine, and would cause light bleeding. I believed her. After I took both pills, huge blood clots, cramps, and excruciating pain overtook me as I spent the night on the bathroom floor, bleeding and crying. At one point, I passed what I thought to be my baby and wailed out in both pain and fear. No one told me how intense the pain and bleeding would be. From that night on, I became numb, angry, and even more isolated. Abortion not only stole my baby's life, but my life, the health of my marriage, and a sibling from my children. By the grace of God, through Jesus Christ and a healing study, I did find healing and hope from the trauma and pain of my abortion. I will continue to use my little girl's life as a testimony to share the truth about abortion. Thank you.
He said he would kill himself if I kept our baby. This was now my second abortion. Why didn't anyone tell me I could possibly have suicidal thoughts after killing my children in the womb? The pressure was not only from the man, but the doctors and staff who told me I was doing the right thing, both times. It's just a blob at 6 weeks, they said. You have a lifetime to have children, they said. So I took their advice. When I arrived, I went back to the room. It felt very dark. As I lay on the table feeling nothing, suddenly I opened my eyes and I could feel my baby leave my body. It didn't hurt physically at the moment, but the emotional connection was already there. I truly believe what I was feeling was my baby's heartbeat leaving my womb. The guilt and shame was so overwhelming, I suppressed those emotions by living a careless lifestyle of drinking and finding love in all the wrong places. It affected my mental well-being and my physical health. I suffered pain and severe cramping for years, with hormone imbalances and abnormal menstrual cycles that now make me unable to have children. There were cycles of depression, grief, anxiety to anguish, and suicidal thoughts. I experienced ruined relationships, a lack of self-worth, self-respect, and low self-esteem. I had feelings of abandonment, sought approval, felt inadequate to be a mother, and felt unworthy of love.
I'm Stephanie Jacobson, and I'm from Florida. I was raised in a very loving home. My folks took us to church and taught us about Jesus, and I knew him personally. I felt safe. We don't think about abortions happening in these kinds of families. But life took a detour I never saw coming. I had two abortions while I was still in my teens. One was at a Planned Parenthood in Kansas City, Missouri, and the other at KU Med Center. At the Planned Parenthood, I remember it being in a tiny sterile room, and the woman who was given the job of educating me about the procedure slid a speculum across the desktop to explain the procedure. The process to take it, the tissue from my body. I asked if I could go get my boyfriend who was waiting in the car. I wanted him to hear what she was saying. I was 16, alone, and afraid. You won't need him. This is your choice. He can't help you with this now, but we can. Abortion is a decision between a woman and her doctor, she said. To be clear, I never saw or discussed my pregnancy, benefits, risks, or alternatives of either abortion procedure with any doctor. Abortion is safe, she said. Death is not safe. And the aftermath of those abortions? Something that was never mentioned in that tiny room. Depression, anxiety, miscarriage, anger, and suicidal thoughts that eventually led doctors to a misdiagnosis of bipolar. The anger plagued me for 40 years. The undeniable truth is, it was unresolved grief for my babies. Having life sucked from one's body leaves one very angry. And we wonder why we have an angry nation. When we don't value life, nothing has value. Liam Elias and Victoria Isabel. You may wonder why I named my children I never saw. It's because they existed.
I'm Tawana Amen and I represent Florida. At 18, I was excited to be pregnant. People close to me said I was just too young and immature. They said the baby was just a mass of cells. They told me it was safe and that there was nothing to it. They pressured me into it. It was years later that I heard the audio version of the silent scream, and I was devastated. I fell into a state of guilt, shame, and regret. It was so hard to pull myself out. I couldn't bear thinking about what my baby had gone through. Thank you, Jesus. He rescued and healed me. Married, we were ecstatic to be expecting. Tragically, we lost our son at 22 weeks. A high-risk OBGYN told me the abortion was a key factor in my loss. Devastated, I went back to the abortionist to get the file. He wrote that he gave me all the risks and complications, the nature of the procedure, and the emotional pain that could be borne, and even the chance of sterility. I didn't get any of that information. We never went on to have more children. I speak for those two children.
I was single, 17, and coerced by a parent and a boyfriend into a surgical abortion that was prearranged and paid in full. The physician's office lied to me. It's just a blob of tissue, nothing to worry about after it was over. All lies. I was totally backed into a corner the day of, with no escaping as I was pressured more. When the doctor asked me if I wanted to go through with it, I said absolutely not. He responded, "Go talk to the person that brought you." I was never informed of any risks of abortion. I screamed as the suction machine began ripping my insides out with my body convulsing. Three nurses held me down and told me I needed to be quiet. I left empty, physically and emotionally torn apart, abused and totally violated. Intense grief and sadness overtook me. I contemplated suicide. Abortion affected me through miscarriage, sexual dysfunction, anniversary reactions of illness, self-destructive habits of weight loss, and I did not bond with my firstborn son, and I became abusive towards him. Abortion hurts and victimizes women. Abortion is bad law. Abortion is not healthcare.
Hi, my name is Toni McFadden, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I was a senior in high school when I faced my own unplanned pregnancy. Like any teenager, I felt scared, lost, confused. My boyfriend was very clear that he did not want me to keep this baby. And my best friend and my boyfriend were the ones who brought me to the abortion clinic. I was so uneducated. I knew nothing about fetal development, but I later learned that I was 7 weeks along. And I'll never forget the nurse telling me that my baby was nothing, just the size of a pea, when I asked her if I could see the screen that was conveniently faced against the wall as she gave me an ultrasound. I was given the chemical abortion pills. I took the first set of pills with the abortionist, and then he gave me another set to take home. He said this would expel the pregnancy, and he said it would just be like a heavy period. That's not what happened. I took the second set of pills 48 hours later, and nothing really happened. And so I took the second set again because they had given me two, and I spotted a little bit, and I thought that was it. A month and a half later, while I was in school, I suddenly felt extreme pain shooting throughout my entire body. When I got into the nurse's bathroom, there were blood clots the size of my fist leaving my body. I didn't tell my mom when she came to get me. And I will never forget going from my bed to the bathroom for hours, bleeding in so much pain. This is the aftermath of the first trimester abortion that they will never ever prepare you for. In the midst of this, my boyfriend had broken up with me, and I felt surrounded by loss with no one to confide in. This is what the abortion industry says empowers women, but I can tell you from experience, there's nothing normal or natural about taking the life of your own child. It changes you. If I could go back, I would give my baby life in a heartbeat.
I am an attorney with the legal advisor to Operation Outcry at the Justice Foundation. These testimonies by just a few of the brave women we know give you a good picture of how abortion harms women, all different kinds of women. Remember, your state has a safe haven law that allows a mother to safely surrender her newborn to a fire station, a hospital, or another safe haven designated location. Safe haven is no cost to the mother, unlike abortion, and avoids the pain of knowing she killed her own child with the potential of becoming infertile. We encourage you to learn more about your state's safe haven law. It's easy. Search Safe Haven Law in and add your state. Thank you for listening.
In 1802, Alexander Hamilton penned a letter urging the creation of a Christian constitutional society. Fast forward to today, and the National Association of Christian Lawmakers is championing those principles. Our founding fathers referenced God in the Declaration of Independence, recognizing the divine origin of our natural rights. Enter the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, where elected officials unite to uphold biblical principles. Unlike any other organization, NACL crafts legislation grounded in a biblical worldview, aiming to safeguard our nation's foundation. Today, as far-left extremists threaten our values, NACL stands firm against the assault on faith, marriage, sexuality, and more. Now, more than ever, we seek elected officials and Christians ready to defend our Judeo-Christian heritage. Join us today at ChristianLawmakers.com to protect faith, freedom, and the values that make America great.